I walked the streets of Logan and talked to locals to see what their reactions were to the separation policy. I met Tom at the Logan Tabernacle.
Well, the family separation thing is a political deal, and broadcasting companies are all making hay on it, you know. And those people that are having their children separated from, they know that they're going to do that before they ever get there. That's just standard procedure. They've been doing it for years since President Clinton. It's just a news media gimmick, so I don't pay too much attention to it.
In fact, family separations were a part of President Trump's zero-tolerance policy for migrants crossing borders illegally, and more than 2,000 children have been separated from their parents since early May. However, it is true that under President Clinton, it became easier to charge and deport migrants. Near Cafe Ibis, I met Taylor while she was on a break from work.
I feel like they should at least be given a shot, especially if they are coming here and trying to like better their lives. They're working, they're doing what they can, they're putting their kids in, they want them to get like education and stuff, and I think that's awesome.
After public scrutiny and bipartisan pressure, President Trump signed an executive order to end the separations. The order did not include plans on how to reunite families. On Wednesday evening, border control officials were instructed to stop referring parents who cross illegally to courthouses. Instead, the decision to prosecute rests with the Department of Justice. UPR's Tom Williams spoke to Pulitzer Prize-winning author Sonia Nazario about the immigration crisis. Nazario says the majority of migrants coming to the U.S. at the southern border are trying to escape gangs and drug-related danger in some of the most dangerous countries in the world.
Large control by narcos who were working with the gangs in these countries and were forcibly recruiting children to join or be killed. 9-10-year-old boys were told, you need to join with the gang and work with us or we're going to kill you, we'll kill your family. Girls were told, you have to be the girlfriend of the gang leader or we're going to exterminate your whole family. And so that's producing this exodus of refugees. These are very different from economic migrants. The UN interviewed these kids migrating north in 2014, and they found that 6 in 10, the primary driver now, was somebody was trying to kill them back home.
Nazario says that even when kids are detained with their parents, the children's welfare is compromised.
They regress to bedwetting. 9-year-olds have gone back to asking their mothers to go back to breastfeeding. They lose weight. They have nightmares. They're lethargic. They're depressed. They become suicidal. Even studies commissioned by ICE showed that this is not good for children and recommended that children should not be detained with their parents.
Nazario also says detention undermines the family unit and prevents parents from parenting freely. For Nazario, family detention is not the answer.
Someone said to me yesterday, we're trading kids in cages for families in cages.
According to Nazario, humane solutions to handling migrants who enter the U.S. illegally are an option. She says using a pilot program from 2016 that released parents with their kids is the way to go.
People are running for their lives. The solution to this, you assign them a case manager. With these case managers, 99% of immigrants show up to their case hearings. And when they're ordered to voluntarily deport, 79% of them did so.
For now, it is unclear what will happen with the more than 2,000 children who have been separated from their families, or how the new executive order to detain families together could potentially conflict with the 1997 ruling limiting how long children can be jailed. For Utah Public Radio, I'm Tamsin Malloy.